Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Carl Mazzola, the President of Health and Public Sectors at TSYS. Carl, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. Very, very glad to be here.
So I'm excited to talk to you about an area of our economy that's massive, and it also happens to be an area that is ripe for payments transformation, and that is healthcare. There's so many ways we could take this conversation, but why don't we start with the basics? Why all of a sudden has healthcare become such a magnet for fintechs and in particular payment innovation? Why now?
Yeah, it's really the shift from a payer insurance provided coverage to the patient. So if you look back 10 years ago, you know, less than 5% of what a doctor or dentist, what they charged, less than 5% was paid by the patient. That now is upwards to 40%. So more and more a doctor has to look at their patient now as somebody who not only do they have to provide for, but someone who has to be able to pay their bill.
So that is a big change, and I think it's a shift that will continue. It begs a bunch of questions though, because I'd be curious to get your take on how much of that doctor biller patient gap can a payments innovator really affect, because there's this intermediary called the insurance company, and it's often very hard for patients to understand what they owe until after services have been delivered, or in the case of an emergency, they probably don't have much of an opportunity to make a decision.
That's right, and that's really where health is different from any other purchase. So more and more, though, as a patient, you can, at the time that you schedule your appointment, at the time that you check in, you can ask, what is my out-of-pocket going to be? Mm-hmm. At that time, you can discuss what your options are, whether you can make a down payment, whether you can leave your account on file, you could set up recurring payments. So as patients, we too have to learn that we have to take responsibility for what we're going to owe. So in the past, you probably never thought about calling your insurance company to ask, hey, how much will it cost if I go to get my knee checked out or if I have a sore throat? As consumers, we should know going in how much it's going to cost, and the insurance companies are making that easier and easier for us to find that out before we visit the doctor.
So Carl, how do you think that we as fintech payments innovators can help that process? Because it's a lot of friction, takes a lot of time for that consumer to call the insurance company, to get the feedback, to make the appointment, to get in to see the doctor. It's friction times, it sounds like, 1,000. What can we do to fix it?
Well, one way is a lot of our partners are software partners that provide that level of knowledge to the doctor's office. So we have partners that we go out into the marketplace with. They're known as practice management systems. And they have very easy technology that when you call to schedule your appointment or when you check in, within a matter of seconds, they can run a transaction and they will know if you have insurance and if you do, how much your out-of-pocket will be for that type of visit. Mm-hmm. So what we're finding is about a third of the practices do not use a practice management system. Mm-hmm. That number is coming down because of the topic that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we do in the marketplace is if we come across a practice that does not use this software, we will refer that doctor or dentist to one of our partners, depending on what type of practice they are. We'll refer them so that they could benefit from that software.
So let's talk about then the payments piece of this. And in your white paper, you make some very good points about consumers are used to having choice when they buy anything else. and therefore they expect to have choice when they're buying healthcare services. How complicated is it for doctors to integrate and make those choices available to consumers? And do they even think about that as a starting point?
I think what we're seeing is more and more new doctors coming out of school. They understand that while they went into this to help patients, they also have to run their practice as a business. Mm-hmm. And just like if you were opening up a retail shop or any other type of store, you would probably purchase software to run your store. So more and more, a high percentage of graduates coming out of med school understand this. And one of the first things they do is they partner up with a practice management software company to help run their business. Mm-hmm. For others, it's taking some time, and the software that they could purchase is phased in, so they don't have to go with a very expensive one. They can start off with a, you know, very basic software that will tell them before the patient arrives if they have insurance and how much their insurance is going to cover, thus how much is the out-of-pocket going to be.
It sounds like, though, there are an awful lot of opportunities around that visit or the procedures that may follow that can be innovated through creative use of payment types and certainly of financing options. I was speaking with an innovator probably a month or so ago whose business is basically financing the deductible. So many consumers now have very high deductibles to keep their premium payments down. And so when they need to use their insurance, they can't necessarily pay the $5,000 out of pocket. I thought that was very clever. It allows consumers to get the procedure they need, but also gives them a little bit of relief on the premium or the deductible that they have to pay. I guess there are a number of things that you see along those lines as well.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, unlike a major purchase that you're going to plan for, unfortunately, your health isn't one of those. So there are companies out there that will finance it. We try to make it easier, though. We try to allow the patient to leave an account on file and to set up a payment plan. So if indeed it's a $5,000 out-of-pocket, we encourage our providers, the doctors, to talk to the patient to see how much they can set up on a payment plan. Maybe it's $100 a month. It could be more. And that is automatically billed to their card. Mm-hmm. Chances are, most likely, your credit card is going to be at a much lower interest rate than some of the finance programs that you're talking about. So we first try to allow the consumer, the patient, to use their credit card in order to make that purchase. Mm-hmm. We also allow recurring payments right out of your checking account. Mm-hmm. That's another option as well. So either by your checking account or your credit card.
Do you have any data to support the impact of these kinds of practice management software, revenue cycle management, on the ability for practices to collect? Because I can imagine that as well-intentioned as consumers are, when they're faced with a lot of bills, the medical bills kind of get pushed to the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, we definitely see for the doctors who use the card on file, for those that really are putting together a payment plan, and then also for patient portals, something we haven't talked about yet, which is a online service where I can go from my home and I could go into a website and I can see what my bill is and I can make payments right on the site and I can set up plans. Mm-hmm. We definitely see that for our practices that employ those products, their volume is significantly higher. Now, what some of that is converting cash and check, but others, you know, the other part of that growth is allowing the consumer, allowing the patient. Most people want to make good on their health, their health bill.
Right.
So it's allowing them to take that $5,000 expense or $1,000 expense and fit it into their into their monthly budget.
Right.
And that's what these recurring payment plans foster.
Well, it also allows the consumer to get the health care they need, because you know, no one wants to think that having a high deductible gets in the way of a procedure that the consumer really wants. Final question: how much of a cultural shift does this require of the doctor, you know, who went to medical school to make patients well, but you know, I think to the point you made in the white paper, they're not exactly the business guys, and getting paid for it is not often the primary driver. What are you finding?
No, that's exactly right. And most times it's not even the requirement of the doctor. It's really the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the, you know, 2-3 people that you speak to as you check in, and then after you see the doctor. You know, it's really upon them to understand what your out-of-pocket costs are and to talk to you about the options. The last thing we advise is not to have that talk where the patient leaves the office. You know, the stats show that it's a very high bad debt
mm-hmm.
if the patient leaves the office without setting up some type of a payment plan. So
mm-hmm.
it's really the staff who needs to understand that part of their task is to set up a payment plan to collect payments on site.
So it sounds like technology and payments really can improve the process all the way around for obviously the practice and the consumer itself. I mean, this is an area where it seems like there's a tremendous amount of positive impact all the way around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we definitely want patients to know what their costs are. We all want that. And then we want to give them options, not just on payment options, not just cash, check,
mm-hmm.
Credit, but we also want to give them options on the method
mm-hmm.
that they pay. So they could pay inside the practice. They could pay via the website, the
mm-hmm.
patient portals that I'm talking about. They could
mm-hmm.
pay on their mobile phones. They could text to pay. So there's more and more methods for patients to pay. And as long as that initial discussion happens inside the practice, where the maybe it's the doctor, but most likely the staff, as long as they let the patient know that you will have an out-of-pocket, and it could be as much as X, as long as they all understand that going in, the patient is going to set up some type of a plan, because most times you're going to go back to that doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's your family doctor, hopefully you're going back every year. If it's a specialist, you're going to go back. You know, the average is 8 times that you go back to visit a specialist. So you definitely, when you go back for that third or fourth, you want to make sure that your bill is being paid, or else you may not get seen.
Yep. Well, Carl, this was a fascinating conversation about an area that is really, really important on so many levels. Thanks for sharing your insight with me today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you.